Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Austin Healy, and this is the all-new Rugby Tonight podcast. This week, I'm joined by Benedict Kay.
Hello, Austin.
You keep that quiet, don't you?
No.
Not many people know.
Well,
you've shortened it to Ben.
If anyone asks me what my name is...
You say Ben.
Well, that is my name.
Well, it's shortened version. I don't say Oz, do I? Okay, maybe I do. Anyway, we're going to be looking forward to this weekend's Aviva Premiership games and reflect back last weekend on the record-breaking 50 tries. A best week opening weekend for you?
Yeah.
I thought it was. We'll talk about that a lot more later. But before we crack on with the podcast, here's a little tease of what you can expect on this week's show.
Northampton wing Ben Foden was our star guest on the live studio show.
We'd come off the back of a good results of our pre-season and we were confident. You know, I was sitting in the hotel room having a coffee with Dylan Hartley, feeling confident that we were going to go and beat Sarries at Twickenham and it was going to set our season off the way we wanted.
Alistair Eakin sat down with summer Leicester recruit Johnny May and his landlord and fellow Tigers newbie, George Ford.
So pretty much I came straight back from honeymoon into England camp and then thankfully, George put me up for a few weeks. We don't need to go into the ins and outs of that, but I'm not living there anymore. My wife's moved up. I don't necessarily want to go into my living arrangements presently either, but I'm fine, and I'm just focusing on the rugby.
And Sarah Elgan went up to Sales Training Ground to catch up with the Southern Hemisphere duo of James O'Connor and Faf de Klerk.
I think there's something pretty special that's going to happen here. And there's a lot of belief in this team, and all the talk around the camp is really positive.
All that coming up later on the show, but let's kick off with, well, the opening weekend. I had a wonderful summer off, and towards the end of the summer, you're thinking, oh, can I really be fussed going back and watching rugby?
Well, usually it takes a while to get going, the Premiership, doesn't it? We've had it in previous years where you come back thinking, actually, there's a load of good new signings, particularly last year with all the marquee signings that had come in, and it took a while for them to bed in, but there was... No delay this year, was it?
I actually enjoyed the first weekend of work. I looked forward to going back to Leicester Tigers the following day. But it was an amazing start. Saracens were incredible, weren't they?
Yeah, I think we were expecting maybe, was there a bit of nervousness there, but they just looked their same old self. You could tell in the warm-up, all smiling, joking. Scott Britz, I spoke to him before the game, and he said, it's definitely my last season, but I'm going to enjoy it. And he had a smile on his face for the whole of the afternoon. It was brilliant to watch.
See, I was thinking, I was looking at Instagram or Twitter or one of those stupid things whilst I was away on holiday on the beach. And I saw them all messing around in Bermuda. And I was thinking to myself, that doesn't look like pre-season that I remembered. That does not look like a gym. It does not like him sick in
the
bin.
The good thing about that is from the board's perspective at Saracens is they now know they have to deliver or next year they're going to a prison camp somewhere in the south of France.
Well, I don't know if you remember, we went to Northern Ireland one year. Went to Northern Ireland and stayed in bunk beds.
Yeah.
I had to room with Martin Corrie as if it's not, and he didn't have any carbohydrate. He was on a fat loss diet. So I had Martin Corrie with no carbohydrates for a week. He very nearly killed me after about 3 days. It was all his fault. But I don't know where 50 tries, whether it was the new laws, new attitudes, just new season, a mixture of all three.
I think there's a bit of everything, isn't there? But I think the new laws have... I think the new laws over the last, not just this year, but over the last sort of 3 years have changed coaches' perspectives. And it's been deliberately done by World Rugby so we do get more tries. And I think coaches are thinking, well, actually, we are going to have to attack more. And it's great to watch. I thought the Gloucester-Exeter game on Friday night set us up perfectly because... you know, had that finish right at the end where I've never experienced in the Premiership an atmosphere in that one minute of a game when they scored and went over, just the noise and the excitement.
It didn't happen the other way last year against Leicester. Leicester scored in the very last second to win the match at King's Own, very first game. So they've had some great starts to the season. I think the new laws are actually designed, and it's a bit contentious, but it's true, to help New Zealand. So if you watch how New Zealand play with Aaron Smith around the breakdown, how he gets really quick ball, steps back and then advances really straight towards the defence, the tackler now not able to compete will really open up that channel for him.
It speeds up. And we saw, I don't know if you noticed, but so in that Leicester game, when Leicester were behind in the last few minutes, Johnny May coming off his wing to attack around that area, and Veanu as well was attacking around that area. It almost... was it said at half time that that's where you're going to get the change, not out in the wide expanse?
I'm wondering whether people, you know, Phil Lauder started it, the guard, the bodyguard, whether defensive coaches are now going to have to start reappraising the way that they look at the defence.
Just stick someone behind who can then fill in to either
side.
What?
Bath did it really well with Foto Alii. When he came on, he blitzed out from the backfield, either straight through the middle of the ruck or straight to the ball carrier to apply pressure. I thought that was a good tactic. But also, maybe thinking about how you defend out wide a lot more and breaking it up, because sides now just seem to be coming wave after wave after wave, and it might actually trigger sides going back to look for the really big tackle. A lot of sides were trying to do that, but I thought the skill levels were excellent for a first weekend. Normally, I always think first weekend sides are going to be a little bit rusty, a little bit nervous, but virtually every single side, bar, let's say, Northampton in the first 40 minutes, and they changed it around in the second half, they looked like they could all play.
Oh, the
London Irish in particular.
Superb, and that's the key, isn't it? Because if you're getting fast ball, as soon as you lose that one, two defenders with an offload, there's nowhere to recover.
Who was your favourite? Who would you stand out then? I'm just looking at the games here. Gloucester, Exeter, brilliant game. Newcastle, Worcester. Newcastle looked very, very good.
No one had the complete 80 minutes. You can't say that. But all of them had their golden patches. I thought, the start that Wasps made, I thought, oh, here we go again. Exactly the same as last season. Same with Saracens, with their start. But then the ability of Leicester coming back, nearly pinching it at the end. But Bath probably played the game that was most like Premiership rugby of last year, didn't they? And they just bossed it. And I think Leicester maybe thought, oh, we'll come out and we'll play this all action with our new backs. Yeah. And then they got hit by a big back row that actually did manage to stop them on the gain line. Got that momentum with the pick and go game.
Strange because Callum O'Foney's had quite a good pre-season, carried really well, but I suppose he's never played
the
quality.
They looked better when Williams came on, didn't they?
Yeah, much better. He was a lot more direct, but if you're going to be carrying into Francois Lowe and Garvey, you're going to get your head kicked in, really, aren't you? It doesn't matter who you are, unless you're Billy Vunipola or, me.
You just get your head kicked in.
I just get my head kicked. That's at home, never mind at the pitch. Leicester came back into it. I thought the defining moment was Manu ignoring the 3-on-2. If Leicester score, then they probably go and win that match at home. But what a brilliant opening
weekend. I'll tell you what, I'm going to pick my favourite, and that has got to be London Irish coming back into the Premiership and getting the win. But not just, by no means a fluky win, was it? It was a really good performance. And
no massive names in that team, is there? There's not
but they
one.
Bought some,
Franks,
they bought,
maybe. But
they bought good people as well with Premiership experience, so like people like Petrus Duplessis, who's obviously a great bloke off the field, adds to the environment as well.
Blair Cowan, though, what a game he had! I've always thought he's a good player, particularly thought he would have played more games for Scotland. But okay, enough of the opening weekend. Let's take a little look now at the interview that our very old Martin Bayfield did with his fellow Saint wing Ben Foden. I'm sure they just spoke about Una, the fact that she was a massive pop star and. She then married Ben. And
it's all gone downhill.
It's gone downhill since then, really, hasn't it? To be honest. Well, no, his hair's got better. She's gone solo.
Superb.
Let's find out.
What's your favourite of her songs?
I just like all the Saturdays. The blonde one's my favourite. What was her name? Can you remember?
Keith.
He was definitely my favourite. Anyway, here's what Bayf's had to say with Ben.
Thanks so much for fronting up. It was not a comfortable start to the season for yourself or the Saints. As is always the case, you get a game like that and the fans let loose, as is their right, of course. And we had a quick look at one of the Saints fans' forums, and this is what was said. On Wednesday, Foat is on rugby tonight. He has a huge responsibility to tell it as it is. A half-empty Twickenham suggests the fans have had enough. Debatable. So, Phones, legend that you are, Frank has got to please tell the world what is wrong. This is it. Don't venture into North Korea. We'll leave that somewhere else. Let's just stick to the rugby. What is wrong?
Well, I can sit here and come up with all the excuses in the world, but at the end of the day, if you look at the bare facts of the game, we just weren't at the races. We're beaten in every facet of the game. The 50-50s all went Saracen's way. They were desperate to get the ball. Our tactics were probably wrong in terms of our kickoffs, played to their strengths. And we know that Saracens are a good team. And, you know, the big thing for us, the defence let us down. We pride ourselves on having a strong defence. And I think we only made one positive hit, you know, collision in defence. And once you get guys like... you know, Barrett going forward on the front foot. They're difficult players to stop, and their offload game was superb. Their tails went up. We were up against it, and suddenly we're under the sticks, talking amongst ourselves, going, what is going on? How do we fix this? And it's sort of like quicksand. When you find yourself in that sort of situation, the points just flow in, and before you know it, we were trailing 27, 30 points down.
Well, we've got loads of tweets coming in, and I'll go through them, but we've got two Bens on, so to avoid confusion about who the question is to, we'll call you Ben, okay. And we'll call you Sloth.
That's the first time this year.
Here you go. So anyway, picked out of the week. This is from Foes. You're tweeting yourself. You just torture yourself. It's easier. Picked a hell of a week to come on BT Sport. We will go easy on you. It wasn't all your fault. Danny Kerr has come back to you. No, they'll go easy on you like they did me. I think he came on after they had a big defeat as well. You haven't timed it well. And Ugo's got involved. Yeah, timing not the best. Well, Ugo didn't write that, someone did it for him. But anyway, so Jamie Crosby, he's come up with, why have Saints fallen? I think that's a bit of a... You can overreact to a game like that. It's the first game of the week of the season. And... Do you not think, you know, this weekend you beat Leicester at home, everything's back on track.
All's forgiven.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're talking a bit about last year as well. I think that, you know, the tough thing is not just getting to the top, is staying at the top. I think that you look at past teams who've done that very well, is Leicester, Saracens are doing it now. And, you know, Northampton's, we pride ourselves on being a top four side, and we have done for years. Last year was our, you know, the first time we didn't hit the top four, the expectations that we expect as a team. And obviously, the start of the season against Saracens has not gone well. And so people are going to start asking questions early doors.
Did this pre-season feel any different to last pre-season? Could you tell last... I know you'd never say it at the time, but could you tell last pre-season wasn't quite as good as the year before?
Well, the difficult thing with pre-season is you go into games, for instance, at the weekend. We've come off the back of a good results of our pre-season, and we were confident. You know, I was sitting in the hotel room having a coffee with Dylan Hartley, feeling confident that we were going to go and beat Saracens at Twickenham, and it was going to set our season off the way we wanted. And obviously that didn't happen. And then you start doubting yourself, thinking, oh, what have we got to do? But we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We know that we've got good players.
We've got to play better.
Yeah, we've got to play better.
Basically, I mean, it's quite simple, isn't it? But, I mean, let's go on to a real serious matter. And this one, I think this is directed at you, Sloth. Do you have a favourite Saturday's song?
Love Machine.
Love Machine. Yeah. And did you didn't write that, did you?
No, do you not get the joke?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
scrum half, fullback, wing. I remember first meeting you, Fodes, probably 15, 16 years ago in a bar in Bournemouth. And you were deciding whether to play scrum half, wing, fullback. Do you think you made the right decision?
I came to you for advice.
What a mistake that was.
And you gave me terrible. No, you didn't. I actually remember that. Yeah, it literally was about 15 years ago, went and met you in a bar and just talked about saying getting tagged with being a utility player and what kind of, you know, advantages it is of that there are. And for me, I think it's put me in good stead playing on the wing. I've played on the wing for England, played nine for England, played fullback for England. So
just three positions.
Just the three positions. Okay. You know.
There's another good one there that's sort of linked. If you could choose one back to play with, who would it be and why? Not the guy that gave you.
If there's a back three, obviously someone like Jonah Lomu, someone like that. A natural ability, a guy who changed the game forever as well. And, he's a legend of the game. And to play alongside someone like that would be wicked.
What about, let's get away from the tactics. So, Jane McNulty, what international team do your children support, England or Ireland? Are there battles in Chateau Foden?
There are a bit, yeah. My wife's very passionate, as all Irish people are, so she's very... they can support both, but it's more England. They've only got England shirts in the wardrobe, so England at the moment, I feel.
What are you looking to get out of this season? trophies, call-ups, a win? I just added that last one.
Obviously, when you set up your stall for the season, it's a top-four finish to give yourself a chance of being in the playoffs and winning silverware. European ambitions, we managed to sneak in the back door of the European Cup, and obviously we've drawn an absolute stinker against the French champions, the champions of Europe, and the Pro 12 champions as well. So we've got our work cut out, but you know our main focus for that would be winning home games, trying to sneak some away points, and qualifying for the knockout rounds of Europe as well.
That sort of sounds weird, doesn't it? Guys, we're talking about a Saints team now. It's just looking win the home games, sneak a few away points. Is that the right mentality, or do you need to get back to where it was when Saints were one of the dominant sides?
Well, I think that if you're going to be a dominant side, then the first thing you've got to do is make your home ground a fortress. European rugby now, I think that most teams literally target their home games, thinks if we can get maximum points from those home games, it gives you 15. I think that you probably need around 19, 20 points to be the lowest qualifier to jump in the last rounds. And obviously, if you can win one of those away games, that'll give you a good opportunity of finishing top of your group and going through that way. And obviously, in the Premiership, for us, first and foremost, you win all your home games. That's half the games of the season. And then you look forward to those away games and trying to sneak points, like I said. It's just about putting yourself in position, you know, to make a run of it. You need a run of games as well, and confidence grows with that. You know where you are. Set yourself targets of where you want to be looking to be at certain points in the season. And then, you know, when the trophies are handed out in May, you find yourself hopefully in the right position to challenge for the trophies.
Here's one for you then. Actually, you might be able to use some of your media training to answer this one. Does Jim ever lose his head, or is he just the world's most level-headed human being? That's Bafe's, this actually. He's one of his best mates, Jim Mallard. He goes around for dinner most nights. You must have seen him smashed up.
Not smashed down, no.
Yes, you have. Answer again.
You know, he is just very level-headed. And the nightmare is that you'll have a chat with him the night before a game, and you have a good chat and whatever, and then you interview him, and it is the straightest of bats. He gives the straightest.
But you don't go around to his house and interview him, babe. You go around and drink red wine.
I'm never off duty. I'm never off duty. But what is he? How has he reacted to last season, where there was a lot of pressure, question marks over whether he was going to stay, and of course now not a great start to the season.
Well, he like you say, he's quite level-headed, but at the same time, I've known Jim for years, since I first started playing professional rugby. Jim was my coach at Sale, he was my coach at under 21s, my coach now, and even now, when you get called into the sort of the headmaster's office and you sit down in front of Jim and you're like, oh, am I in for a bit of a toast scenario, or is he going to be nice? You're not sure. So you still have that fear, that element of fear, but he is. You know, he knows the game inside and out. He's very level-headed. He knows, like I said before, we don't need to change the wheel. We just need to tweak things, get things right, get the physicality right and the breakdowns in defence. And we know that we're a good side. We know we've got quality players. We've had a few injuries. We've got a few guys coming in this week, though, that are going to sort of hopefully spark us a little bit. The competition's good in training. And when we get the right balance, we're away.
So we'll be playing at the weekend, if selected. I'm sure there's quite a few guys that would like
Monday
to come in.
Monday would have been interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think the appraisal for the Saints on Monday, that has got to go down in one of their worst 40 minutes in their club's history.
They did come back, and to me, it looked like a bit of a lack of direction. Obviously, we're not used to seeing Harry Mallander playing at 10, are we? But it there wasn't anyone bossing it, and a little bit of rabbits in the headlights on the opening day of the season. Maybe someone like Dylan Hartley should have sort of bossed that a little bit more, but with all his experience. But
they have got a lot of injuries. Let's not forget, you know, they're missing Francis, Horn, Reinach. They've got North still to come back.
Yeah, Reinach's not injured, is he?
They both only arrived late, so they were tired.
I think Reinach will make a big difference.
Yeah, I think he will.
He's sharp around the breakdown.
But they need a fly half, because Mallander is, you know, he's a good player. Yeah, I personally don't think he's of international quality. Definitely not yet, but he's not a fly half.
Well, they've got Piers Francis end of the season, but then some big news today.
Yeah, big news.
They signed another one.
Yeah, for next year. Season. So that's weird, because I think Francis will end up playing 12.
Yeah,
they'd have Bigger and Francis together, which would actually be a really good combination. But like you said, I think Mallander for me was really quite good going forward. But defensively, he finds himself focusing on the ball at the ruck. And when you've got people like Scott Britz cutting lines, you don't see them. It's impossible to tackle someone you can't see. And I think Britz did that a number of occasions. And even if he does that and you see him late, you end up being short on the inside defensively. They just got absolutely destroyed.
I think what Jim Mallander will probably be most upset about is just that lack of structure, both in attack and defence. We pointed out that actually at times you could almost throw a blanket over the whole team. They're all in one area of the field. And, you know, in defence, you don't really want your 10 defending at guard on your line, do you? And
no.
I know he's a big lad, Harry Mallander. He's powerful, but he's the last person you want there. He's thinking about getting out and just a simple show and a go, and they score the try.
Well, this is another example. We're talking about defences changing. The pace of the ball is a lot quicker. And you are going to get under a lot more pressure if you stood at guard or particularly bodyguard. And I think maybe it might concertina defences a bit in the short term. They might just think, do you know what? Let's get a bodyguard and maybe two bodyguards and get a lot tighter, secure that up.
And then
we can drift.
Because everyone is at the moment is attacking down the middle and getting that offload game.
Yeah.
And it's like you mentioned Phil Larder. It's that old Phil Larder expression of let them score on the outside if they're going to score anyway.
Stop missing tackles, Ben.
We've got the most.
I remember that expression he had quite a lot.
Healy, get off my pitch.
He didn't have to say that. I was already off on the bench. He sat next to me.
Stretch.
Why does Ben keep missing so many tackles? Not very good, Phil. Oh, can't we get him off? He's in charge of line-outs. I've turned into Yorkshire then as well.
Yeah,
I hope Phil Larder's all right. I miss him. Miss his training sessions. They were really good fun, they were. They were great fun. But I was a bit worried about Northampton because this season you lose Pickhamall and we try and big them up a bit. Oh, he's not too much of a loss. And Jim Mallander says he's only one man, but he's one of the best players in the world. And you think, right, okay. So how have you evolved? What are Northampton now doing differently that they weren't last year? They had loads of possession last year. They couldn't create chances. They ended up lateral. We didn't see any of that. In the second half was a bit of a fight back, but I'd sort of think Sarri's thought, well, we've got Bath next week. This game's already won.
Yeah.
They definitely took their foot off the gas, and there's a bit of a false dawn there for Northampton in the second half. So I am really, really worried for their supporters and for the team.
Yeah, I think you're right about Pickhamall, because I remember a few times, and it wasn't just us, the other people on the BT crew were saying, well, let's compare. We got the stats up, didn't we, when they had Pickhamalls in the team and when they didn't have. And you could see a massive difference in their attacking game, not just because of what he did himself, but where we've said over the last 2 years they're not particularly good is when they get slowish ball, no one can restart that. And he was the one person that could run into a brick wall or pick and go around the base of a mall or a ruck and get them some go forward. Because once they've got that momentum, we saw in the second half, they can play a bit.
Yeah, they've got some players to come back. Both 9 and 10 as well. Hopefully Francis is back soon. He looks like a great prospect for them. But moving on, we had a little bit of an interview earlier on in the week with George Ford and his new tenant, I think he called, Johnny May. Strange that Ford is giving a tenancy out to May. It must be just related to the relative pay. Is that true? I mean, can you tell me anything about as a board member of Leicester?
I wouldn't know what they're paid.
Of course you would.
I would.
You sign the checks. Who's got the bigger check?
Me.
Excellent. Let's hear what they had to say.
So, guys, welcome. Tell me what it's like, George, being back here after spending your formative rugby years at the club. What is it like? Has it changed a lot? Have you changed a lot since you were last here?
Well, firstly, it's great. It's great to be back. Obviously, went away for 4 years and experienced a different environment and played a lot of rugby down at Bath, so I suppose from that side of things I've probably come back with a little bit more rugby under my belt, a little bit more experience, but coming back into the club where there was Matt Connors back and the S&C pretty much the same, there's quite a lot of lads here who were last time I was there as well, it's quite funny really, it's quite surreal, it's like coming back but just 4 years later, but yeah, it's great to be back, really enjoying it. Just hoping that we can keep on working hard, get some good results along the way.
How different has it been for you, Johnny, coming from Gloucester?
No, very different. It all happened so quickly as well. So I've just been really focusing on the rugby, really, and trying to learn new plays, new players, new game plan and stuff as quickly as I can so that I'm prepared going into the matches. It's exciting, though. It's a new challenge for me. It's what I wanted to take my game to the next level, really, and I'm enjoying it so far.
Joking apart, I mean, Leicester is one of those clubs traditionally that's had a kind of history of the senior players, and there's a real sort of boot room culture, isn't there? So have you felt that walking in to the place? You've got to earn your spurs, haven't you?
No, you are right. They have been really welcoming, though, and it is only a bit of a laugh, the change room scenario. But no, you're right. There's lots of senior players there. You've got to respect those guys who've been there for a long time. But I've come in to add to that as well, learn off those guys and try and add to the team. So I just want to learn off them and get better.
And you mentioned how quickly all of this happened, so quickly that you turned up with a rucksack and nowhere to live.
Yeah, so pretty much I came straight back from honeymoon into England camp, and then thankfully George put me up for a few weeks. We don't need to go into the ins and outs of that, but I'm not living there anymore. My wife's moved up. I don't necessarily want to go into my living arrangements presently either, but I'm fine, and I'm just focusing on the rugby.
Okay, George, can you please shed a little bit of light on Johnny May, the housemate? How did that go? And how did it all come about? Did he ring and rather sheepishly say, I need a bed, please give me a bed?
The first week he actually came, we were in camp in Wales, so that was pretty much sorted. It was the 2 or 3 weeks after that, he stayed with me. We had some ups and downs along the way.
Give us an up and give us a down.
I'll give you an up. The ups are that every morning he'd drive me into training and I'd have a coffee, so that was brilliant. The downs would be when we were sitting in the lounge one evening and the ceiling started leaking. It's a new build, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we had a bit of a plumbing disaster and I was on Google ringing up plumbers emergency. They said they couldn't come until the morning, so that was no good. So we were ricketing around. We found the mains and we turned that off and he's had the whole roof replastered.
Oh, good. Okay, so like trying to hunt for a bucket and stuff
honestly,
like that?
Yeah, we were buckets okay. Under the...
So basic plumbing skills are better than they were?
I think we're better for going through that. It's problem solving on your feet, isn't it? And that's the sort of things we're going to be exposed to out on the field. So
clubs love all that.
Exactly.
Yeah, thinking for yourselves. So let's focus on the rugby after the domestic arrangements. Rugby-wise, I mean, this is why you moved, Johnny, right? You felt the need to kick on and you felt perhaps too comfortable at Gloucester. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a point in my career where I'm probably... needing to push on if I want to achieve what I want to achieve and be the best I can be, and I just wanted to challenge myself. You're right, and take myself out of my comfort zone, and that's exactly what this has done. Hopefully, I can come to a team like Leicester with the players in that team and a different environment and test myself and push myself. That's what all I wanted to do really.
It's all about the club, of course, at this point. But was there a little part of you that saw Noel, Watson, Daly, all going off on the Lions tour and you thinking, right, I've got to do something special to get into that England team and break open the door in
that
respect?
No, definitely. It was, like, obviously they're teammates of mine. I was really pleased for them. But it was a tough pill to swallow, I guess, when I play in the England team with them and I was probably the only winger not to go. I didn't expect to go after the Six Nations. But definitely, I've got to up my game, haven't I, to stay in the mix with those guys of what they're doing, and I'm desperate to do that. So I've got to challenge myself. I've got to get better, and that's what I'm trying to do.
And what about the debut, Johnny? Two tries, you'd be delighted with that. Obviously, not the result you'd have wanted. But can I just isolate one little moment? Your chase of Rocco, because it was thrilling to watch.
Yeah.
Two, three guys, because Tulu Saviani was in there as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Moving at such a rapid pace, you were gaining on him. If he hadn't had that little step at the end, you'd have had him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I watched the GPS bar graph and I was getting up real good top speed, and I actually knocked Toulouse was in my line, so I dipped off when, if he hadn't been in the way maybe, but no, Rocco did well to step out of the way. I can't anticipate that when I'm running at full speed, and he had the gas to get there.
Were you at top speed there? Do you think that's as fast as you've ever been on a rugby pitch?
That's as fast as I've run, the GPS said, so that's good.
Excellent. And what about the game on the weekend? Obviously, it's massive in the context of what happened for you against Bath and in context of what happened to them against Saracens. I mean, you'll have watched East Midlands derbies from the sofa before, yeah. but this is different actually being in the thick of it, isn't it?
No, sure. I mean, obviously playing for Gloucester and playing against Bath, I know what derby games are about. And you're right, they're going to be wounded from what they went through at the weekend, so we can expect them to come out at us. And we've got to match that because we're not happy either. So it's going to be two teams desperate to get better and win. So it's going to be a tough game.
And just finally, on the East Midlands derby front, from your perspective, you'll have tasted them previously in your other Tigers life, so to speak. But just give us a flavour of what it's like when you're in the white heat of battle in a game against the Saints.
It's a different intensity altogether. I think you play Saints, you play them at home, you play them away. Like I said, the intensity of the game is more than a normal Premiership game. It means a lot more to the teams. It means a lot more to the fans. They hate us, obviously, from their side. I'd say that our fans and don't particularly like them either. So it means a lot to a few people, a lot of people, and people get very passionate about it. So for us as players, we want to go out there. We want to, first and all, win the game. We want to play well. We want to pick up 4 points, obviously, whatever it is. But we know it's going to be a really tough game at Franklin's Gardens, and Saints coming off probably a disappointing result for them. They always react very, very well, so we'll have to be very good on the day.
So, very disappointing loss to Bath.
I know. What was more disappointing was, I know you worked Friday and you worked Saturday, and on your day off with the kids, you decided to take them to Leicester Tigers versus Bath.
I thought it was going
to
be
Dad,
a cracker.
Dad, can we go to the trampoline park?
No.
Dad, can we go swimming? No. Can we go bowling?
They wanted
no,
to go and
Dad.
Watch the rugby.
No, Dad, can we go and watch the rugby in the corporate box
driver.
At Welford Road?
I was just there,
whilst you get drunk.
Corporate box?
You were on those spongy seats. I saw you heated. Yours is heated. Definitely it is when you get off.
It is when I get off, yeah. Exactly.
But I've never really experienced expectation like that for the first game of the season at Leicester. Yes, there's always an expectation. There's always almost a demand from the supporters that the club, the team, is going to get better, is going to win trophies in that year. And you could really sense it from the supporters. We did the first bit in the crowd and we ended up talking to a lot of the supporters and they were all saying, oh, wow, you should have seen this back line go in the pre-season games and the forwards were great. This could be our year. I even heard that a number of my fellow commentators had backed Leicester at 14-1 to win one of them. We can't tell you what his name is. Let's just say it's LD. I mean, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away, but he had money on Leicester. And halfway through, he looked a little bit worried.
It's disappointing for all the Leicester fans for that reason. I think maybe the Ospreys games in pre-season had lulled them into a false sense of security. I don't think Ospreys are the side they were at the moment. I think that they've had their own problems. Having said that, you know, you come away from some games going, well, you can't see where that team's going to get better. George Ford not thrown that interception, which was brilliantly taken by Rocco Degouni, and had they not gifted a couple of other points at that key stage in the game, because actually they'd had some momentum early on through that back line, and they did at the end of the game, we might have glossed over it and walked away and said, yeah, Leicester are still title contenders. I think there was enough in the performance to say, actually, they're still going to trouble some teams this year.
The big thing that would worry me if I was a board member of Leicester, which I had the opportunity to be, but decided not to be. More likely that I'll own it rather than be a board member. But the thing that worried me was the carrying of the back row.
Yeah.
So it looked good when Mike Williams came on. He was very direct, very strong. Yeah. And you only have to make 5 yards as a back row. And if you keep going outside shoulder, you're going to get chopped. But Callum Maffoni, for me, I thought got bossed by the Bath back row.
Yeah, a little bit.
And that was quite a worry because when it gets wet, that's really where George Ford's going to need his forwards on the front
foot. Dominic Ryan maybe more of a seven type.
Yeah.
You know, six
can't
and a
play
half
O'Connor and Ryan together, would you say?
Well, that's just, you know, I guess in certain games they will, and there will be games when it's prudent to have two sevens.
When you play like Sale and the sides that are more
against,
open
against
and Wasp, maybe.
They've got Mapalangi, the Tongan, who can play second row or six, who's a big ball carrier, who's man of the match in the Tongan Tonga Samoa game over in
Samoa
when we were down. Samoa.
It's Samoa, not Sahamoa.
Sahamoa. So they have got options there, but let's not take anything away from Bath. That was your classic away from home, tough place to go and play. You know, there were a few of the Bath board members and
in the hospitality corporate area
sat around saying, well, I've been here so many times and never had a win. They came and did a brilliant job based around that back row, who were phenomenal. I thought Garvey was brilliant. Banahan as well, almost played like a back row half the time.
Well, I think that actually Bath was the performance of the weekend. Yeah. I know we said London Irish was pretty good, but for me, going there and that expectation and Leicester the way that they were, I think that performance, the first win since 2003, that second only ever win at Welford Road, in the professional era, is an incredible performance and sets them up really well for what is a difficult 6 weeks for them because they've got a tough run of games of Bath and
but then
not
do,
many
do
people
you
behind
think
that
that's
starting
good
15.
To get, if, a perceived tough run of games at the beginning of the season.
It is if you win.
If you win that first
If you
couple.
Win the first two, yeah it's great. If
you
lose the first two, you end up like Sale were 3 years ago, where they finished fourth 1 year, the next year the bottom of the table because the fixtures were terrible for them. They lost their first two, heads drop a bit, the pressure builds and you stop playing really well. I think it's easy to overreact, like you said, to Leicester and say, oh, well, maybe they're not a top four side, but I think, you know, this weekend will tell us quite a lot, won't it?
Right, Sarah headed up north to chat to Sale's two new recruits, Wallaby James O'Connor and Springbok Faf de Klerk, and here are her best bits.
Welcome to Manchester, welcome to Sale. How have you been settling in, Faf? Have you enjoyed your time here so far?
No, it's been good. Really enjoying the boys and they've been very welcoming. Lovely city, a lot of stuff to do, so it's been great.
And it's a great city though as well, isn't it? I mean, what have you been enjoying about the city? Have you managed to get about a bit?
Will Addison is there. They live in the city, so they've taken me around a bit to a lot of coffee shops around and a few nice restaurants and stuff like that. So yeah, I've been showing me around a bit, but still need to get out there a bit more. But people are very friendly and enjoying it. So.
A bit different to Toulon though.
Yeah, it is different. Well, when I first came over, I was actually struggling to speak English again. But and even the accents are a little bit off-putting. But I found, the people are great, very friendly, a lot of time for everyone. And like Faf said, it's a great place. Lots of cool little spots. I'm not in the city, I'm a bit out. I'm in Bowdoin,
more quiet, lots purpose. Of parks.
Oh, I like the wildlife, nice parks, good area.
There you go.
What attracted you then to the Sale Sharks?
I think it's just a different challenge for me, coming from South Africa, the way we play there and the type of competition. I think there's a different challenge playing in the Premiership. And from this weekend, I saw it was just on a very high standard and enjoyed to play there, but I think there's going to come different challenges with the weather and with different teams. A lot of guys I haven't played against before, so I think there's going to come a lot of challenges along with it.
So I've been doing my research. I've been stalking you guys. I've just been researching. Yeah. And I was reading an article that you did a while ago, and it said you used to watch a lot of the Premiership on TV. Has it kind of lived up to expectation? Because you've obviously started last week.
Yeah, I think everybody thinks it's very slow rugby and it's not a... not a good standard, but last week was just
everyone
so
thinks
quick.
That, don't they?
Yeah, they do in SA.
In SA? Yeah. South Africans, eh?
So, yeah, I think it definitely was lived up to standard. I think it was probably one of the quickest games I've played in. And
well, you've already tasted the Premiership, of course, with London Irish.
Yeah, I have.
How different is the setup here compared to that of what it was?
I think when I came into Irish, I was coming off a stint in Australia. I came into the team quite late. In November, whereas now I've had the sort of the time to settle in, get to know the boys, and just really sort of understand, I guess, the plan and what this club's all about and where we want to get to.
I mean, it's a bit of responsibility because, like, both of you are obviously still quite young, and you're coming here expected to be like the experience, obviously well experienced, but the experience and the leaders. So. Is that a fair bit of responsibility? Because there's so many youngsters here, but really good youngsters. But I guess that was part of the plan, to bring those up to your standard, I suppose.
I don't know how he feels, but almost like that responsibility. So it's good for me. I like that, to be put in that position. There's obviously a bit more pressure on you, but yeah, I think it's good for my game to have that responsibility and go out and almost have that role that you talked about.
Is that one of the reasons that I sold the move here to you? Like the fact that you were going to guide the youngsters? Because did you have a look at the players that you were going to be playing with?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You have to do your homework before you move to a new club. I think exactly what Faf says. I thrive sort of when I'm, pushed into more of not a leadership role. We have great leaders in this team already. They're senior players, and I guess we're both involved in the group, in the strategy group, and in overseeing sort of what goes on around the place now. But look, I'm here to play rugby, and I find that, when balance is working off the field and on the field.
Steve Diamond. So what were your first impressions of Steve? Because he's quite a taskmaster, isn't he, I would imagine?
I think what you see is what you get. I found him very refreshing from my first phone call to coming to Manchester and meeting him, and everything sort of, he's a man of his word and he seems to be running the ship pretty tightly.
In terms of targets being set, what is the target for Sale Sharks this season?
I've never found it good to sort of put a target on. We want to win games and we want to really cement sort of our style of play. The way, or what I've seen, I've obviously been watching a lot during the preseason. I haven't been able to be involved on the field as much, but sort of in terms of sort of the coaching stuff, I think there's something pretty special that's going to happen here. And there's a lot of belief in this team, and all the talk around the camp is really positive. So
it wasn't the best to start. I guess it was a really tough start against Wasps last weekend. So in terms of lessons learned from that first outing as a group of players, what would they have been?
Yeah, I think we just need to realise that we're actually a good team. And I think when they scored that first two tries, the guys were almost a bit surprised what's going on now. This wasn't the way it's supposed to go. And then we came back into that game, and then it was again a surprise. Oh, we're in it again. So I think just we need to put that behind us. If you get a bad start or a good start, you just need to keep on going and move on to the next movement or the next play in the game. So I think definitely we're going to work on our defence for this weekend, because our attack was pretty good. So if we can turn up on defence, then we're going to have a good game this weekend.
Yeah, big thanks to Sarah for heading all the way up to Manchester for that earlier on in the week. But Sale are a bit of a tough one, aren't they?
Yeah.
Don't really know what to make of them this season, or indeed last season. They win some games, they lose some games.
Well, a couple of they almost overperformed a couple of seasons ago, didn't they?
Yeah.
And everyone said, right, that's them here. And then last year, maybe it was a bit of a shock, but I think with Cipriani going, and they didn't quite replace some of that attacking flair that he'd brought to them. But this year, they looked to have a little bit.
Yeah, Faf de Klerk would make a big difference to them.
He was brilliant.
Well, that's been their problem for the last 2 years. When you've got Stringer, who's just a passer, very good passer, and he can give you tempo. And then Phillips, who was, let's be kind to him, he was getting on a bit. They didn't really have somebody in the, for me, a really important position in a Northern team at nine, where you can move your pack around,
Dowie
boss
Morris.
People around, like a Dowie Morris, yeah. Someone who can do a little bit of the dog work. And I think that's what Steve Diamond wants, and that's why he got de Klerk. So I think that they could move up the table. They spend a lot less than other sides, so they're doing well comparatively.
That'll change now, will it? With
I think with Mr. Orange.
It's not just him, is it?
No, there's a few of them in there. What will change? If Sale can get 2,000 more people through the gate on every game,
that's the big thing.
Then they can make big strides forward. So, you know, if people are in the Northwest and they want to be entertained, it is a good fun going up on there on a Friday night, having a few beers. And I think they've finished the road now out of the back of the stadium, so you can actually get out rather than having to hitchhike.
The atmosphere in the stadium makes a massive difference,
yeah.
I think. In terms of that home advantage thing, otherwise you could be playing anyway, couldn't you?
So, I mean, on paper, it's a decent squad. You just don't know what to make of them. I don't know whether you've done in your mind where you think the league is going to be this season. I have after the first week.
Yeah, I think they'll be mid-table, but I don't necessarily think they'll be sort of really pushing hard for the top four.
Yeah, I think they'll be battling Quinns for round about 8-9.
Yeah, I'll go 7.
Different
makeup though. Different makeup to the club. It's not like all the other clubs with Steve Diamond there. He seems to control everything.
Yeah, he's like Boss Hogg, isn't he? I reckon he's got one of those cars that he arrives in with the big horns on. He's like, nah, 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 nah. One of those. Do you know what I mean? He does everything. He does. He makes the tea. Well, he doesn't make the tea. He puts the flag. No, he doesn't put the flags out. But he's basically the director of rugby, yeah. The chief exec. You know, he's embedded in that club, and I think the club, if they want to do well, they have to take some of his values. They seem to have been a bit of a separation. They need to get that fighting spirit back a little bit more up there. I think at the weekend, defending was optional against Wasps. I know Wasps are a great attacking side, but at times, my God, you could have driven a bus through some of the holes there.
There was a quote on his on the Sale website, I think, that was him saying that Nathan Hughes, when he burst through the ruck to create that try. What was the referee doing? Because they've changed the laws. Whereas I looked at it, it's fine. So I don't know whether they've...
You just got to be the back man. If you have to be the back man.
And no one was in from Sale. So as long as they pick it up immediately, actually they're entitled to play unless one of their players comes in.
So if one of their players comes in, it doesn't matter if you're the back man.
Yeah, well, you can as long as you... It's a bit like a number eight picking up. As long as you release your bind.
So effectively, if your foot is over the ball, if your foot is the back foot of the ruck, you can pick up the ball regardless.
Yeah.
Just to clear that law up for people who are slowly falling asleep listening now.
If they haven't put anyone in, you've created a ruck just by having people on your feet over the ball, you can play it unless one of their players comes in.
Yeah. See, I've seen that new law, and I don't understand why more sides aren't standing off a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sarri stood off a lot in the second half, got penalised for it. Interesting if you're into that sort of stuff.
Not really.
No, I know what you mean. But if you do fancy yourself as a bit of a pundit, and Ben, you fancy yourself as a pundit?
No,
or you you're a commentator or pundit?
This is a job interview.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
Excellent. How's it going?
What's your aims for the next 3 years?
CV. It's my CV.
Looks very sure. Why is it on a stamp?
Hey? Why is it on a what?
A stamp. So what are your aims for the next 3 years? Where do you see yourself?
Well, working with someone else, which will be nice. When they have you got your letter yet?
No.
B45, no.
No.
Hasn't come through. Awkward.
Hopefully soon. But anyway, if you do fancy yourself as a bit of a pundit, you can play along with our new BT Sport Predictor game for free.
He did all right on that this week, didn't he? Oh, yeah, a shocker.
Well, everybody had a bad time this week because all the results pretty much went against the trend. As you can guess.
Where would they find the BT Sport?
I'm about to tell you now. You can go online. It's for each weekend's Aviva Premiership matches. And for full details and terms and conditions, it's at btsport.com/predictor.
Do you need www or not?
I think people have sort of worked that out now.
Yeah, I don't think you do now. I think
no.
The modern
individual.
Browser,
yeah. Modern internet browser, yeah. Does what? I won't ask you. Go straight
File.
To your favourite sites. But I will just say
elite.
To anyone who does join in or is on Twitter or Instagram that we're only making our predictions. It's only what we think at the weekend. There's no need to abuse us. There's no need to come on and say,
you know what, I think
what
we're
have you
gonna
said Sale are going to win for?
What do you think? Because we have to give by how much they're going to win by.
Yeah.
And to get the points where you actually get them on your own, you actually have to put maybe a bit more than you'd think.
Exactly.
You don't want to be saying a 3-point win because everyone said that.
Yes. So looking forward to this weekend. It's actually, I think in a strange way, it's a much bigger weekend than last weekend. Always is the second weekend because if you've had a loss, you're desperate to get a win. You don't want to start with two losses and be in that bottom half and already have a 10-point gap between you and the top.
Yeah.
So there's some massive
games. Interesting. Friday night, Sale against Newcastle. In the past, we would have been going, oh, this is huge. This is a relegation battle. Do you think it still is?
No, I don't think either side will go down this season.
Will there be as much pressure on it as a result?
I think it's a different type of pressure now for Newcastle because Dean Richards knows what it's like to be a winner, knows what it's like to be at the top of the table, knows what it's like to gain momentum. And you know what he was like? If you got momentum, that side didn't change. The only way you came out of that team is if you were injured. And those Newcastle boys, if they go to Sale...
that it happened when you weren't playing, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah, the first three games, Jamie Hamilton was fantastic. Andy Goud as well at fly half. He was really difficult to get past, mainly difficult to get around. But I think Friday night's a tough one to call. If I was going to go for that one, I'd probably go at the minute.
Home advantage? Or would you go Newcastle? Because
I think it's
going to
be
form going into
super tight. Super tight. Sale will have been beasted this week about their defence. They'll be encouraged from McGinty to kick a lot more. So I think it'll just be a tight game. It's our opening game. It's on BT Sport 2 and 4K UHD from 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, we've got Bath versus Saracens on BT Sport 3 and 4K UHD from 1:30 p.m.
That's a corker.
I think Sarries will win.
Well, I do, but I think, you know, had Leicester won that game at the weekend, I think Bath would be under even more pressure. I think they might just have that little bit of momentum now, and Saracens might... Maybe it was too easy for Saracens.
Saracens' defence isn't going to cough up the same sort of mistakes that Leicester did.
Yeah, but Bath aren't going to cough up the same as Northampton.
Yeah, but in that game, out of their three tries, Bath only created one of them from attack.
Yeah, true.
So effectively, if you're talking about a kicking game versus a kicking game, Saracens always win. If you're talking about a defence versus defence, Saracens pretty much always win. Bath have got some X factor in that back line, though. I thought Max Clark looked very, very good at the weekend.
And after that, Northampton against Leicester, BT Sport 3 from 4:15 p.m. Give us a prediction. What's your prediction? Let's do it now. Let's lock them in on the btsport.com.
I've already
predictor.
Done mine.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you locked them in?
No, I haven't locked them in. I'm waiting to see what you do.
You can't, it's like you can't see until you lock them in.
I know. That's painful, isn't it?
That's good. That.
But if you don't lock them in, they get automatically locked in, don't they?
At kickoff, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough one to call. It's going to be physical, emotional. I might cry a little, but
it will depend a little bit on what team Northampton pick. I think if they go out with the same team, I think they might struggle a little bit, just because of the confidence around where's the direction going to come from.
Yeah, they. Well, they're going to pick Grayson at 10, yeah. A young lad, yeah, in an East Midlands derby.
Oh, that's who our guest is.
His dad.
His dad.
Yeah. Oh, we should ask him.
Yeah.
Phone him now. Give him a bell. See what he thinks.
I've only got 2% battery.
I'm just trying to think who they can add to that team. Mitch Eadie
Ryback.
Mitch Eadie looked like he was injured, so I don't think we'll see him again. Which wasn't not for not. I mean, again. I mean, this week. Who else could they add? I thought Ribbons did quite well when he came on.
Yeah.
Maybe put Courtney Laws in the back row and play Ribbons. Give them a little bit more firepower.
Laws looked good. I was really impressed with Laws.
Yeah, he's by himself, wasn't he?
Nothing was functioning for them, and he's still. And Collins. There was Collins injured. Did Tom Collins come off injured?
He came off injured, but it looked like he had cramp.
Yeah, he did, yeah. But he looked shot. He was their only attacking threat. And Courtney with a few big ball carriers.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Look, if I'm going to go for it, and people won't like us for saying it, but I think Leicester will win. I think they'll have to bounce back. They'll sort their game plan out. They have to go wide. With that back line, there's no point trying to go 3-pod carry in the middle with your back row and then go wide. Because if you don't win that collision, Ford's on the back foot, and Ford needs to be moving forward.
Yeah.
Thought Ben Young's brilliant, by the way, at the weekend, particularly in the last 20. He looks very, very sharp around the breakdown.
That was Sam Harrison.
No, well, he went off with 10 minutes to go.
I know. Right, Exeter, London Irish.
Yeah, Exeter.
I just can't see London Irish managing to reach that high again, especially down at Sandy Park.
And then I think Gloucester will beat Quins.
Is good. Yeah.
You think you're going for that?
Well,
Quins were so loose at the weekend. Messy.
It's really difficult to predict on the first day of the season, or first 2 weekends of the season, isn't it? Because do you get that automatic bounce back? Like, you know, if a team gets on a run of bad performances, you go, well, they're just going to continue. But if they don't perform at home, it's going to be a very long season for
them. Are you saying, have Quins got the bounce back ability to
have they got the ability?
Fixture? Do you think
the bouncing? Yeah, I don't know.
They've got a strong side, though, haven't they?
Yeah,
which it doesn't stack up. You know, you watch them and you think that side with the names that they've got in that team should really be.
Yeah.
Well, I know London Irish were good, but should really be beating Irish. The back row, will Ward play again at open side for them, or will he bring in a bigger carrier? Marcus Smith, lots been spoken about him.
He had some good points, didn't he? You can see, see where the
talent
is. He's
vocal and he's got confidence.
A little bit of time, doesn't he?
He still looks like a young man in a man's game, doesn't he?
Yeah. Sunday.
Yeah, Worcester versus Wasps.
That's probably one of the easier ones to call, wouldn't you say?
I was just going to tell people where it's on, where they can watch it.
They can watch it?
Yeah, they can, yeah.
Wow.
It's on BT Sport. Excellent. In fact, it's on BT Sport 1 and 4K UHD at 2:30 p.m.
Are you doing that one?
No, I'll be bowling. It's my daughter's 14th birthday. We're going bowling. She said, Dad, can we go to the rugby and watch rugby in the corporate box?
No,
it's because I'm doing what she wants to do.
I bet you're really good at
bowling,
aren't you? But
only when they put those little things up on the sides and you can bounce it off.
And the little tray to roll it down.
Yeah. You've got to have one of those. There's a height restriction. So I'm within the height. I can use them. Yeah. So, I think, Wasps will go there and win. Worcester, for me, are the side.
They've looked the poorest in the game.
Yeah, most likely to be in trouble. Lost Bentio. Could be out for a long period of time. Most likely.
That was a break around his plate or damage around the plate he's already got in there.
Now he wears
the big arm guard, apparently. So, yeah, that's a huge...
Does that make it more serious, then, or...?
I don't know.
I thought you were a doctor.
I am, yeah, but... without seeing the x-rays, I couldn't possibly comment. But Mike Williams had problems around his plate and came back fairly quickly, didn't he? So,
yeah.
There you go. Anyway, thanks for listening, Oz.
Yeah, should we do it again sometime?
No.
Okay. Well, we're forced to it.
We're back next week.
We're contractually obliged,
actually. We're not doing it.
Actually, next week it's Nick Mullins and Ugo Monia. They'll be doing it from Nick's house, so Ugo won't escape.
Oh. he'll still be in that little room.
Yeah. Is it called the grey room or the red room he's got? It's one of those colours, I can't remember which. But remember, the pod will be out every Thursday morning, so make sure you subscribe to get it delivered straight to your device. And if you've enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating and review us on iTunes. We won't see you next week, but Mullins and Monia will.
Bye for now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.